Snowflakes are falling, mowl homes are calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas tides are coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. Joining me via the phone lines is Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffel. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you doing today, Mark?
Doing well. Excited about another day. Asking the Lord to order my steps and guide this radio ministry and bless many friends and family members. Did you have a good prayer time this morning?
I have four kids, so every time I do prayer, it's a challenge.
Maybe when you got to the church, you know, that's where you got to have your sanctuary time, if you will.
Yeah, well, it's a little quieter, but here there's also other things that take your attention and do that. But it was good, though. Good time with the Word and just seeking after what the Lord would do and would, you know, open up the Word of God and then placing yourself beneath the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's both a blessing and sometimes very difficult. So.
Yeah, the old Gumby thing where you're getting stretched left and right.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I have the prize bucket here with some surveys that have been filled out by people at this past Sunday night's Singing Men concert in Camargo. And so I told the people there that fill out the Voice of the Listener radio survey and we'd give away some prizes. And on the Monday and Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, I had the Cabe family in here. Todd and Val have seven children. And so they were here with four of the seven children. So we were talking all about their live nativity production that they're putting on. And it's kind of unique because you stay in your car and you drive into their barn. It's on a farmstead in Loda, but you stay in your car and all the action goes on around you. They're going to have camels there and other animals. And you kind of observe it and enjoy it and get blessed by it. And then you kind of drive on. And then they're going to have a place where you can make an offering for an orphanage where they've served for a number of years in Mexico. So kind of a neat concept. Not only are you going to be able to experience the nativity story, but you'll be able to further kingdom work in this orphanage in Mexico. So I thought that was pretty neat that they were going to do this as a family.
Very neat.
Well, anyways, back to Sunday night. The Singing Men sang in Camargo, and I pulled out three names. Let's see, Mary Lou Sheete, I think. Sheet, maybe? And she listens to 89.3, likes David Jeremiah, has listened for a few years, enjoys the Gaithers, a variety of music. And so she'll get an appetizer coupon to the Texas Roadhouse, and I'll find some gifts in the prize cabinet. Being the month of December, I got to start giving some of the stuff away, huh, Jason?
Yeah, I think you still got some VHS tapes.
Yeah, the cassette tapes are kind of obsolete now and some other things. Yeah, we're going to clean out some more things out of that prize cabinet this month. Let's see, the next winner, Dusty Cannon, married to Will. They're from Camargo. Do you know any people named Dusty? That it looks like Will must be the husband, so Dusty's the wife. She enjoys Alistair Begg, Charles Stanley. I'm sure I can find something in the prize cabinet by one of those two. So we'll send off a gift. And then finally, we have Alden and Faye Nay from Arcola. Know them from church and have seen them a number of times. Oh, they like to hear Mark Burns interview people. All right. I'll have to give them a bonus gift for writing that down. Anyways, appreciate them, and we'll send out some gifts. Always appreciate people filling out Voice of the Listener radio surveys. We kind of use it as a barometer, if you will, when they say they enjoy these programs or this kind of music. When I'm scheduling the music or picking out favorites, I kind of remind myself of the things that people are enjoy hearing and learning. So feedback is always important. Now, this Sunday night, the Rantoul Ministerial Association has invited the Singing Men of GNN to present at 6 p.m. That's this Sunday, December 13th, at the First Baptist Church, 401 Glenwood Drive in Rantoul. And Pastor Ken Crawford sits on the radio board, so it'll be a little homecoming to present at the church. I had called you, it was maybe 5 or 6 months ago. I said, Jason, I've been asked to preach to fill in the pulpit. You got to give me some material and help. help me out.
Was that the church that you filled in for?
Yeah, Sunday. And I think I even aired over the subsequent Monday or Tuesday that broadcast. I kind of shared some radio stories and a few verses that God had really impressed on my heart. And that was close to home, that concept out of Romans about being adopted. And I shared some of the adoption story about Esther and some of the unique things God had done through the radio ministry. So, yeah, kind of enjoyed that, but I'm so glad that you're the pastor and I am not. Oh, your job is so hard and demanding, and every, you know, week another message and expectations and hospital visits and all the decisions and the counseling and the reconciliation. And I mean, it's endless. I tell Holly all the time, Holly, you don't realize how much is expected of the pastor and the demands and the time commitment. And they sit down for a meal and somebody calls because they're in the hospital and they have to get up and go out, or someone passes away and all the counseling and the grieving that they have to, you know, help people through. And I said, it's endless. I said, it's just such a demanding role. And I mean, I learned this 20 plus years ago through Promise Keepers that, you know, the expectation the pastor has to preach great and know how to do all the audio visual and all the technology and the hospital visits and everything. It's like any CEO might be proficient in one or two or three areas, but not in like 17. But most of us, or there's at least that tendency, is you expect your pastor to be good at all these things and look good and dress properly. And then the first lady, you know, she has all these expectations. I mean, anyways, can I get a witness?
Hey, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah.
I live this life.
Yeah. Well, you and I have had many a conversation. I say, oh, Jason, I'm so glad I'm not a pastor. And then you kind of stretch me a little. You say, but Mark, you do have a role. And with the singing men and other situations where you have that pastoral presence or, you know, leadership ability, that you need to really look at it as more than just barking orders or determining, you know, vision casting and other things. And so, yeah, you've kind of helped me mature in some of those areas, but wow. Well, anyways, all to say that on Sunday night, December 13th, 6 p.m., the Singing Men of GNN will be singing at the First Baptist Church in Rantoul. And then just a heads up, this is our favorite concert of the year. It's happening December 19th at the Food Court at Marketplace Mall. And that'll be the debut of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. We got two new wise men this past Monday night. We were still kind of needing a couple more people. Jim Miller from Savoy signed on. I can't remember what role he's playing. And then Kevin Brooks, another friend, said, hey, I think we can do it. So I think we have most all of our cast members. I still think we're looking for a couple, like 6 or 7 year old children to be fairies. Or to be angels. I guess there's a little
angels.
Difference. Yeah, they go around, glory to God in the highest, glory to God. And they circle around baby Jesus and Mary. And they've been rehearsing on Monday nights. And I think tonight they're going to have a rehearsal and then 2 or 3 rehearsals next week. And then they should be good to go for their debut. So they've been working real hard on their lines and their wardrobe and costumes. And that'll all be happening Saturday, December 19th at the Food Court at noon. And between the singing men singing and this drama that'll take place during the concert, it'll probably be about an hour and a half. So probably 12 to 1:30 Saturday, December 19th. So, wow, lots of things happening. Holly had a ministry evening with, I think, 40 Chinese at a special restaurant, and gift giving and encouraging messages and sharing, and with the Singing Men concerts. And you know how everything just fills up. It's like, wow, this month is crazy already.
Yeah, this month is really nuts. And it came quick. You know, it came fast.
Yeah. Well, I guess we can't really be complaining about the weather. We've been very fortunate. Of course, some people, especially children, are wanting and praying for that snow, but it's been kind of nice. And my chickens, we still haven't figured out how to winterize or what we want to do with them. And the few times it's been like 32, 28 degrees, I'm like, hold in there, chickens. I'll get that heat lamp all figured out. I did the heat lamp out there with the light bulb, but they didn't like it because I didn't have it covered. I think they don't don't like that light blaring all night long, so they wouldn't get into the coop at night, and I have to put some kind of thing over it and screw it down so the heat will still generate, but they won't have that light bulb in their eyes, if you will. So I don't know. I got to talk to some more chicken experts on what I'm supposed to do. Anyway.
I didn't know chickens were so picky.
Yeah. They're still laying some eggs, though, so that's a good sign. So we're eating well. Mm. Did you notice in the studio, I took the screen out, so now I can open up the window, and I feed them the little chicken treats right at the window. I haven't done that while you're here yet, but, yeah, it's been about 3 weeks now, so when I whistle out the window, they all come running. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. My little pet chickens, so. Oh, so do you have any pet projects going on?
It's 2 weeks before Christmas. It is insurmountable. There are so many different things going on. But, I mean, praise God, it's been an interesting time in terms of our family, an interesting time in terms of the church, and just really the way God has lined some things up. It's been great. We've been going as a church through the 53rd chapter of Isaiah for Christmas. Hmm. So instead of, you know, stopping and doing Christmas messages, really, just focusing, Mark, on the idea that the incarnation, you know, the coming of Christ was always the crucifixion right behind that. Mm. That you can't separate those two events. I mean, though we might separate Christmas and Easter in different spaces and maybe in different kind of ways, always at the center of that was the same heart of God that was beating for the reconciliation of his people. And so when God came as a man and emptied himself and came into the incarnation, came into the manger, always on his mind was the cross to come. I mean, that wasn't like something where God later on looked at the Holy Spirit and he said, gosh, what do you want to do? I mean, what do you think? Should we do like a cross maybe? What do you think? God's not chasing ambulances and making plans of kind of as he goes. Always and ever present was the cross. And so the reason Jesus came into the manger was to go to the cross. His humility in the manger was always to guide us towards his humiliation at the cross, which it said was born for us, for our grief. And so it's been really, we'll finish that up this next weekend on the 13th. But that's really been just a blessing to walk through the 53rd chapter and very, very slow walk through the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which is just a powerful chapter.
Hmm. Isaiah, yeah. You have how many more weeks in this book?
Well, we're on the 53rd, so we got to go to 66. So we've got another 13 or so. We'll finish on Easter. I'll finish with Isaiah on Palm Sunday. And then we'll give an Easter message, and then we'll launch from there into, we're not quite sure yet. I think it's going to be something in the New Testament, just so that we balance New Testament and Old Testament. But this year what we did is we've done Isaiah, obviously. So I think we're at, I don't even know. Hmm. We started at the very beginning of the year, so we're at 50-something, you know, we're almost at 50-something messages in Isaiah. And then from there, we spent the whole year doing our devotional reading has all been New Testament. Mm-hmm. So the folks in our church have read the New Testament twice. So they studied in depth the book of Isaiah through the pulpit on Sunday mornings and then have looked at the New Testament twice now in their reading that we do every week. We do daily readings that are listed in our bulletin. But, you know, I think just for them making the connection, and I think for all of us, making the connection that Jesus is as ever-present in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament, the difference in the New Testament is that he has skin on. But he's as present in the revelation in the Old Testament. I mean, and that's one of the things that I've really taken away from this 53rd chapter. I mean, when God says, beginning in the 52nd chapter in verse 13, he says, you know, behold my servant. I mean, and when God says this, he's saying this because his servant is going to come. This person is going to be a servant. Now, in the book of Isaiah, the servant is used in different kinds of ways. Number one, the servant is used in terms of the people. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 8, it says, but you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I've chosen, fear not, I am with you. But then later on, that the word servant is also used in terms of Isaiah himself. It says in Isaiah that you, my servant, will go to the people. And so God's now calling Isaiah the servant. But when you get to the 53rd chapter, the servant can't be the people and it can't be the prophet because this servant that's being talked about is going to substitute himself for the people and for the prophet. And so this is an entirely different person. And this is a person who comes with a sense of divinity. The 52nd chapter is amazing because it says he will sprinkle many nations and kings shall shut their mouths because of him. And that word sprinkle there is used multiple times. I believe it's almost 40-something times in the Old Testament, always tied to a priestly action. And so this is telling us that this servant will have a priestly ministry. He'll have a ministry that will sprinkle the nations. And what is sprinkling in the Old Testament? It's the atonement of sin. And so he's saying he will atone for sin through many nations and all nations. And because of this, the kings will shut their mouths. Now, why will the kings shut their mouths? Because the King of Kings, the King of all things, Jesus Christ, is going to speak. That's the servant in Isaiah chapter 53, but really, again, beginning in 52 and verse 13. And because of this, I mean, the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, the last few verses, 13 through 15, are really the testimony of what God's going to do. And then we move to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and it begins with saying, who has believed what he has heard from us? Now, what does that mean? What has he believed who he has heard from us? Well, it's the message that has come, the sprinkling of many nations, the message that has shut the mouths of kings. And so what is that message? Well, we know that as we go through the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, we know that it is the gospel.
And this had to be hard to preach. I'm just looking at it, you know, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing is in his appearance. He was despised and rejected. On and on, you know, he took up our infirmities. It had to be a hard message to preach.
Yeah, well, one of the things that was really interesting for me and for a number of people, I think afterwards, after the service, the feedback I got from a lot of people, it was kind of an aha moment, is that the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, verses 13 to 15, is God speaking. Okay? Now, many of us, most of us read Isaiah 53 as though what is going to happen to Jesus. We get to the 53rd chapter and we say, okay, this is a prophetic voice looking forward and saying what will happen to Jesus. And the 53rd chapter does do that, Mark. It accomplishes that. It describes in detail his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and his exaltation. But there's something that you need to know about the 53rd chapter, and that's that it's written in past tense verbs, meaning that the 53rd chapter is a penitent confession that looks back from the other side of the cross, from the other side of human history. It's a confession of future believing Jewish remnant who is speaking back because they have not believed, and at some point they realize that and they look back and this is their confession. Their confession is that he had no form or majesty, no beauty that they would desire him, that Israel would desire him, and he was despised and rejected by Israel. And because of this, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but surely he bore their grief. This is their heartbreaking, heart-wrenching confession as they look back. Now, why is that important? Well, that's important because Isaiah 53 is not part of the normal synagogue liturgy. It's not something that's read in the synagogues, and why not? Because this is a confession. This would be like us reading the Nicene Creed. This would be like us reading the doxology. This is a group of Jewish remnant believers in the future confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord.
So Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he's penning this, what is going on in his mind, or what was he aware that he was writing out?
I don't know that he is aware. I mean, all we know is that he's writing in past tense verbs. We know that he's looking. Now, this is the interesting thing when you get to the 40th chapter of Isaiah and to the 66th chapter is Isaiah's writing about events that he'll never see. He's writing into the future. He's writing beyond his own lifetime. And so where it stops and where it starts and where it shifts and moves is really sometimes difficult to discern when you get into these chapters of Isaiah. But it's fascinating that this is, you know, that this is a future remnant looking back upon the cross and saying, we got it wrong, but now we see it. And here's the powerful thing that I would suggest for every listener to do. Everybody who's listening right now who can, open up to the 53rd chapter and maybe do me a favor. Read the beginning of the 53rd chapter in this way. Who has believed what he has heard from us? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was despised and rejected by Jason, a man of sorrows who acquainted with grief, and as one from whom Jason hid his face. He was despised, and Jason esteemed him not. Surely he has borne Jason's griefs and carried Jason's sorrows, yet Jason esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for Jason's transgressions. He was crushed for Jason's iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought Jason peace, and by his wounds Jason is healed. Read the 53rd chapter and take the we's and the r's out and put your name in there. Because this is what a believing remnant is going to do. They are going to read this with a personal bend to it. They're going to see that the servant Savior, the suffering servant, came to suffer for them. And not only will they have that future confession looking back upon the cross, but every single one of us in Christ can do the same things. And maybe we need to sometimes stop and do that to remember the work that Christ did on our behalf. And Isaiah 53 is horrendous when we read the work that he did, when we read that it pleased God to crush him. And why did it please God to crush him? Because ultimately he was going to God. God sees farther than we know. In that moment, the pleasure was because God knew what was going to come out of that. And so I sometimes think that we need to think about things from these perspectives and read Scripture from these perspectives only so that we can understand the gravity of what has been done on our behalf.
Yeah, and even this Christmas message can get lost in this little manger with this little innocent child, not recognizing he's going to return. There is a closure to mankind. I mean, there is an end to this world, and there will be a righteous judgment, and those that follow Jesus will have everlasting life with him, and those that choose otherwise to not follow him or to reject him will have their eternal doom kind of laid out before them.
Well, I mean, just think about it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God." I don't know about anybody else. I have four kids, so this is what I do know, is that the most humbling thing to a person is a baby. Because a baby, because you get grown men, you get manly men around a baby, and what do? They get on the carpet and they start Googling and gagging and rolling around with the kid. I know, me personally, that I'll get on all fours and make horse noises, and my son jumps on my back, and I know that I'll do all kinds of silly things. That I will forget my own pride and my own desire to be who I think I ought to be in the midst of a baby. And isn't that kind of what this season tells us? It invites us to come to the manger, to look in there, to see the baby, and to be blown away, to be humbled, not only by the fact that God emptied himself of what it meant to be God and came and walked and lived amongst us as a man, but also that God did it in such a way that we couldn't help but kind of go, oh, and give away who we think we ought to be and what we think we ought to be and embrace the child.
Yeah. 'Tis the season, and hopefully we can keep that front and center and first and foremost, and remember to...
It'll really be the battle. It really will, because the battle is the traditions and the celebrations and all those things that happen. And I'm going to tell you, I really don't think that the celebrations and all those things are worth anything if we don't have Christ at the center of that.
Yeah.
And I know myself, my wife and I had this conversation the other night because we did it. You know, we were talking about where the tree needed to be and the lights needed to be, and all of a sudden, for this time period, this tree became the center focus of our Christmas celebration. And we both kind of looked at each other and we said, gosh, how silly. Christ needs to be. If the tree never even went up, would it matter?
Yeah, yeah. A good thought for all of us to take to heart, and as Jason mentioned, Isaiah 53, everyone, that's your assignment. Personalize it, pray over it, seek God's leading as you read it, as you think about it, as you ponder it during this wonderful season when we celebrate his birth and so much more. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.